Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
This short story is titled, "I Love You, Son," author unknown. After a few of the usual Sunday evening hymns, the church pastor slowly stood up, walked over to the pulpit, and before he gave his sermon for the evening, he briefly introduced a guest minister who was in the service that evening. In the introduction, the pastor told the congregation that the guest minister was one of his dearest childhood friends, and that he wanted him to have a few moments to greet the church and share whatever he felt would be appropriate for the service. With that, an elderly man stepped up to the pulpit and began to speak. And here's what he said. The elderly man said, "A father, his son, and a friend of his son were sailing off the Pacific coast," he began, "when a fast approaching storm blocked any attempt to get back to the shore. The waves were so high that even though the father was an experienced sailor, he could not keep the boat upright, and the three were swept into the ocean as the boat capsized." The old man hesitated for a moment, making eye contact with two teenagers who were, for the first time since the service began, looking somewhat interested in the story the elderly man was telling. The aged minister continued with the story. He said, "Grabbing a rescue line, the father had to make the most excruciating decision of his life. To which boy would he throw the other end of the lifeline? He only had seconds to make the decision. The father knew that his son was a Christian, and he also knew that the son's friend was not a Christian. The agony of his decision could not be matched by the torrent of waves. As the father yelled out, 'I love you, son,' he threw out the lifeline to his son's friend. By the time the father had pulled the friend back to the capsized boat, his son had disappeared beneath the raging waves into the black of night. His body was never recovered." By this time, the two teenagers in the church were sitting up straight in the pew, anxiously waiting for the next words to come out of the old minister's mouth. The elderly man of God continued. He said, "The father," he continued, "knew his son would step into eternity with Jesus, and he could not bear the thought of his son's friend stepping into an eternity without Jesus. Therefore, he sacrificed his son to save the son's friend. How great is the love of God that he would do the same for us, friends. Our Heavenly Father sacrificed his only begotten son that we could be saved. I urge you to accept his offer to rescue you and to take a hold of the lifeline he is throwing out to you in this meeting," the man continued. With that, the old man turned and sat back down in his chair as silence filled the room. The pastor again walked slowly to the pulpit and delivered a brief sermon with an invitation at the end. However, no one responded to the appeal. Within minutes after the service ended, the two teenagers were at the old man's side. They said to him, "That was a nice story," politely stated one of them. "But I don't think it was very realistic," he said, "for a father to give up his only son's life in hopes that the other boy would become a Christian." "Well," the elderly man said, "you've got a point there." The old man glancing down at his worn Bible as he spoke those words. A big smile broadened across his narrow face. He once again looked up at the boys and said, "It sure isn't very realistic, is it? But I'm standing here today to tell you that story gives me a glimpse of what it must have been like for God to give up his only begotten son for me. You see, I was that father, and your pastor is my son's friend." Wow. Let's read that one more time. Notice the older pastor says, "I was that father, and your pastor is my son's friend." Amen. John 3:16, friends, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." 2 Corinthians 5 says, "God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself." And then it says, "For God hath made him," that's Jesus Christ, "to be sin," or the sin sacrifice for us, "who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Friends, there is nothing more important today in your life right now than making sure you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or better yet, that he knows you as his son. Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, God sees all sin and will either forgive or condemn each and every sin. Sinner. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3. It's only if the sinner goes to the Lord, not religion, but Jesus, that he, the Savior, will forgive the sinner. Otherwise, the Lord shall be justified, that the sinner will pay for his own sins consciously, irrevocably, and eternally in hell, all for rejecting the full, perfect payment of Christ's precious blood on the cross that was shed for the sins of the whole world. There's five facts about this life, friend. I want to read them to you now. You are a sinner, number one. Number two, you are going to die. Number three, you will be judged. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So this makes it clear that each of us faces judgment before a holy and just God. Number four, you cannot save yourself. The scripture says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And finally, number five, your hope is Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, friends, on safeguardyoursoul.com, I'm going to put the link at the bottom of this post on safeguardyoursoul.com. There is a page called Peace with God. I want you to go there and read how to be saved. There's a prayer at the end, and to repent and receive Christ today before it's too late.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.